Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen.
So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Episode 160 episodes, Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are here, we are live and living color, getting funky like a monkey, if you will. It's a great day. It's an awesome day. Why is it an awesome day? Because it's Tuesday night, and it's Pancakes and Power Slams, ladies and gentlemen. We've been here for 160 weeks. You should know by now that Pancakes and Power Slams is the place to be. We have fun. We have tons of fun. And we always have our friends over at WeAreWrestling.net. Ladies and gentlemen, they live stream a bunch of knowledgeable wrestling fans who are clamoring for some trivia. And I'm going to give it to them. Matter of fact, I'm going to give it to them right now. So, Pancakes and Power Slams chat room, WeAreWrestling.net live stream, and Twitter, live Twitter at Crave Wrestling. First question is, what was Buddy Roberts' nickname from the Fabulous Freebirds? What was the nickname of Buddy Roberts from the Fabulous Freebirds? There you go. There's the first question of the night for everyone who's listening. And thank you again. I tell you what, you know, you have some people who, quote unquote, mated, and you know, they've been, you know, doing what they've doing for years, and they make it, and then, you know, they don't, their sense of gratitude tends to diminish. And unfortunately, you know, they kind of step on the people that's been, that supported them all the way. But as the Rock would say, and as Stone Cold Steve Austin would say, that's not what happens here at Crave Wrestling. That's not what happens at the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are continually grateful for everyone who's listening to us through all of the avenues, through Bleacher Report, through PWMania.com, through, of course, WeAreWrestling.net, and through all the other media outlets that has spread our Pancakes and Power Slams. Of course, iTunes sponsor, you know, subscribe through iTunes. You get to listen to every episode. There's every single episode from 1 to 160 is there at your availing if you subscribe to iTunes. Every single episode of Pancakes and Power Slams, every single interview, every single Flavor of the Week topic, every single trivia question for you to listen to at iTunes, and be sure to subscribe Pancakes and Power Slams on iTunes, and be sure to tell all your friends and your family Pancakes and Power Slams. Tuesdays are Tuesday will not be the same without Pancakes and Power Slams. And I have my boy Derek to agree with that because I know that he's on board. I know that he is a member of the infectious high that Pancakes and Power Slams gives us wrestling fans.
I'm a slice of that, and I want more, is what you're saying, and is what everybody
Absolutely.
In Pancake Power Slams universe is saying. I mean, this is the nonstop of wrestling anything. It comes to trivia, just talk. I mean, we go on for almost 50 minutes of just nonsensical what-ifs and how about this and that, and let's explore this. And I mean, we go off topic all the time. This is something that you just, it's unpredictable. We have a set where we go over things. We'll do this and this and this and this time frame. But we can never go by it because things pop up and then it's like all of a sudden, okay, this is a throwdown. Who was better? What was this and that? I mean, this is wrestling at its best. We love it. We breathe it. We bleed it. We smell like it sometimes. But Pancakes and Power Slams, ladies and gentlemen, we are wrestling. We're on there. Get in the chat room. Say whatever you want. Trump us, try to give us some questions, comments, concerns, but it's nothing but a roundhouse of fun. Chris Featherstone is in charge.
Absolutely, sir, and thank you so much for being the best co-host of the planet. And, yeah, man, let's have some fun. So, again, I'm surprised that I haven't got any tweets or messages from the Pancakes and Power Slams chat room or the We Are Wrestling.net chat room. Uh-oh, have I stumped the crowd here? Is that what's going on? Again, I said, Buddy Roberts, what was his nickname? What was his stage name? So, yeah, what was his stage name? And let us know. Ladies and gentlemen, we get to a Raw, and of course, you know, if somehow there's not enough people and we don't get the right answer, of course you know how it goes. This hasn't really happened a lot at all in the past, at least this year, and I would say even late last year as well. People usually beat Derek to the punch. So, yeah, for sure. But so far, though, so far, we've been seeing some we haven't seen anything. It's been stalled. I think I might have stumped people on the first question. How about that? That's a rarity. But Albany, New York hosted Raw yesterday. I tell you what, man. I was there. There was so much about, and of course, before we get to Raw, we got our big announcement coming up here soon. We got two guest hosts. We got one for next week, former Intercontinental Champion, and we have another one for the week after, former X Division star. So that is your hints for the big announcement that I'm going to make here within the show. Two guest hosts. This is the first time in 3 years that we've ever done this. We've had, like, alternate weeks, like, you know, week on, interview, week off, week on, interview, week off, and we've done it that way. But this is the first time in Pancakes and Power Slams history that we'll have two consecutive guest hosts on the show. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. It takes a lot to get the interview together, but we're getting a lot of inquiries. We're getting a lot of people who are interested, and you know, the team goes out and I do a lot of the grassroots and the groundwork to bring some people in, and you know, they a lot of people have heard about the show even before they say yes to it, because we've had some fantastic interviews in the past. And so, yeah, I mean, it's such a humbling honor to really spend time talking and interviewing the people that I've interviewed, and especially the one that's coming next week. I'm really, really excited about this interview. I think this may be possibly the most controversial interview that we've had so far. I know Tyler Rex beats everybody out the gate as far as his comments on, said wrestlers back then during the interview. But, I definitely think this one here, this one is definitely going to turn some heads and call some and bring some attention to the interview. So I'm looking forward to it. And then the week after that, we also have another person. We have a former X Division star that I'm looking forward to interviewing as well. He's one of the front runners of an upstart promotion that I'm going to plug on the interview and let everybody know about. And there's some controversial things to talk about when we talk as well, so I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, the Fight of the Week topic for this week is Best Masked Man. We have to honor, it was supposed to be during a week after the Patriots interview, the 3-year anniversary, we're going to do Best Masked Man. But the London crowd was so infectious and so, rowdy. We talked about SummerSlam 1992 last week because it was also in London, but it was not in the O2 Arena. It was in Wembley Stadium. So this week we're going to talk about Masked Man. And, of course, as we do every month, we have predictions. So we will have predictions of Extreme Rules. So be sure to stay tuned for that. All right, let's get into Raw. Albany, New York. I think it was like a Smarkville light. It wasn't as bad as, Brooklyn's kind of bad, but it wasn't as bad as, New York City and the Jersey crowd. It wasn't that bad. So, Jack, that is the answer that we no, I'm not going to give you that because, Michael P.S. Hayes would call him Buddy Jack Roberts all the time, but Mark Lawrence, when he announced him at World Class Championship Wrestling, he called him this. This was his nickname. Michael P.S. Hayes would say, Buddy Jack Roberts. He would say Buddy Jack Roberts all the time. But when Mark Lawrence announced him, he would call him this nickname. So, what is that answer? What is that answer? Jack was a part of his name, so not the correct answer so far. I'm gonna give it one more chance, and I'm gonna give it to Derek. You guys cannot let Derek answer before you do. If not, Derek will get a point for tonight. All right, so we have Randy Orton. We have Randy Orton entering promo inside a steel cage, interrupted by Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins was a part of the opening, and that was normal, as we see just about every week with Raw. More build between Orton and Rollins makes sense. It's the main event for Extreme Rules, but for some reason, though, I don't know if the shock value was so high for WrestleMania, but I don't know what it is about this build, this month build so far, but it just seems so lackluster and lackadaisical. It just doesn't seem very exciting. I mean, I don't know exactly what it is that's really not causing this build to be. I mean, nobody really. It's not very exciting to me. Probably because, of course, with WrestleMania, you had Taker coming back the first time in a year, and after the streak ended, of course, you had my favorite build, and my favorite part of the WrestleMania season, Sting being involved. And, you know, you had those type of things, Roman Reigns being in the main event, Brock Lesnar being in the match. Of course, I understand. But it just goes to show, and I think I'm going to write an article about this on Bleacher Report, it just goes to show people always complain about part-timers. But part-timers really is the, I mean, they at the end of the day, part-timers are the go-to people to really put that extra layer on pro wrestling in the WWE. I mean, it's just something you really can't deny. Because you're going into Extreme Rules. If you had this type of build, this type, you know, with full-time wrestlers, if you had this type of build leading into WrestleMania, it would not be as exciting and, you know, spectacular as it would be with part-timers involved. I mean, it's just something that we can't. Triple H is a part-timer. Sting's a part-timer. Taker's a part-timer. Brock Lesnar's a part-timer. Those four big names were a part of WrestleMania, and without them, it just wouldn't be WrestleMania. It would just be another minor pay-per-view. So for all those people who complain about part-timers, yeah, you know, WWE gives part-timers too much, and part-timers bury the talent who's been wrestling there. Yeah, but and I did write an article about this, I think probably a year or two ago, that I said, like it or not, it was called Like It or Not, Part-Timers Sells Tickets. Part-timers sell tickets. And I was, you know, talking about Lesnar, I was talking about Rock, I was talking about The Undertaker, and you can't deny it. I mean, Orton and Rollins is going to be a good, solid match. It's going to be a fantastic match, but it does not draw any luster more than Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Not, you know, I'm a Roman Reigns apologist, but more because of Brock Lesnar and, you know, Taker and Bray Wyatt. That, you know, the build wasn't that strong, but it was the Taker, part-timer. So we really can't complain about part-timers in their spot in the WWE because they are really the money drawers and the attention getters. Orton and Rollins is going to be good, but the promo that began, you know, the promo that started the show was decent, but you know, it left much to be desired.
It leaves a lot to be desired. I think you're going to have to remind me that Extreme Rules is on this Sunday because I might forget and I'll watch The Simpsons or in you know, Fox or whatever. So this is the age of part timers in the WWE. You bring up a great point, and you can't have great shows without these part-timers. They do add the luster because it's almost like when you go to see them, it's like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to see them again. I can see Rollins at every show. I can see Reigns at almost every show. And it's these guys, I mean, this is a ticket event. This is, you know, Bruno Sammartino is in the house, you know, or Hulk Hogan or whatever it is. So it's almost,
yeah,
even though they did regular shows and everything, but I mean, it brings that luster to it that it lackluster. So definitely on board
absolutely
with that.
Yep, absolutely. So we get Dean Ambrose versus Luke Harper in a no contest. They both brawl on stage and Harper retreats. Ambrose, and we'll get to predictions later. Ambrose versus Harper, it's going to be a good match. And like I said before, you know, I've followed their matches in the indies when, you know, it was Jon Moxley and Brody Lee. You know, I've seen their matches in the indies. It's a good, you know, they have good chemistry together. They wrestle, and they have, they wrestle good against each other. I get it. But again, this is probably the most pointless, one of the most pointless matches, at least the top two or three, in the top two or three pointless matches and pointless feuds that is going on right now in the WWE. Neither one of these wrestlers has any type of direction going with them, and so they just kind of caught an audible and just said, okay, let's just have Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper feud against each other. But for no reason whatsoever. And of course, Daniel Bryan is, you know, suspected to, you know, not participate. He's rumored to not participate. He's scheduled against Bad News Barrett, but we'll get to Daniel Bryan's health here in a minute. But if Daniel Bryan indeed does not compete because of his health at Extreme Rules, we have to have a Chicago street fight between Ambrose, Harper, and Barrett for the title. It has to be. That would be the saving grace. And I hate to say this because on account of Daniel Bryan, but that would be the only saving grace of anything involved with Luke Harper and Dean Ambrose, because that match is going to be good, but it has no direction. And Daniel Bryan even having the title for a month elevates the title. And so that helps. And so if someone like Dean Ambrose gets it, you know, if he gets it, if they change the match to Barrett, Ambrose, and Harper in a Chicago street fight, and Dean Ambrose wins, I think that would help the title. So whatever happens, and we'll get to Daniel Bryan more, you know, later, but something has to go on between Harper and Ambrose as far as some type of direction. Something. Number one contenders match would have been even better. Something could have been a stipulation with this match. Otherwise, it's going to be pointless. And the bad thing about it is, I still kind of feel like we probably won't see the last match. I believe this won't be the last match between Harper and Ambrose, and that makes it even worse to me.
It makes it worse because, again, I mean, the outcome of it's going to be pointless. The feud's going to go nowhere. I just want to see these guys wrestle. I mean, actual wrestle. Street fighting's fun. It's great. I mean, the jeans and T-shirts. But, I mean, these guys, I mean, they can throw down. I want to see them do that. I mean, you haven't seen Ambrose, I think, really put on what he can do other than kick and punch and, you know, monkey flips or whatever else he's doing. Same thing with Harper. They've got so much more that they could offer, but the WWE wants them just to be brawlers and fighters, and it's kind of turned me off, and it's made Ambrose an afterthought, especially when his other buddies in the Shield are, you know, main eventing, and you know, he's just, yeah, I'm doing this with, you know, Mr. Harper. It doesn't make sense to me, and it's boring. Nothing's going to come out of it. I mean, it's just talent that they have, that WWE has, that they're just not using. I mean, let these guys just go toe-to-toe, not be a street fight. Just come to the ring and duke it out like the way it should, or at least transgress into that. Just kind of drop a street fight. It's not, you know, it's been done before.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you know, I'm pro Dean Ambrose. I like him. I like his gimmick. I think his gimmick is good, but just what they're going to do with him and what they're doing with him or what they're going to do with him, what it seems like going to do with him in the near future, it just seems like he has such a ceiling on his kids. It's just so it's so sad to me because he's over. People like the guy, but unfortunately, it's just so sad about where he's at right now. It seemed like he had some promise when he was the only person feuding with Barrett, but unfortunately, there's nothing going on with the guy now. So, and then, you know, as far as Luke Harper is concerned, I mean, yeah, I don't see anything with him at all. I mean, it's about that time for them to really start a Wyatt family, for the Wyatt family to get back together. I mean, Rowan's doing nothing. He had a spot with Heath Slater sitting down on a table. That was his spot. And, you know, I think the idea of Rowan being a babyface was a good idea, but it means nothing. It meant nothing. He's had no type. I mean, they threw him in the Survivor Series team last year, and it was okay. You know, it was okay to think for him to be a part of it, but really after SummerSlam, you know, nearly 6 months ago, it was actually 5 months ago, he's done nothing. He's lost to Bray Wyatt as much as I can say the, and nothing. He's had a few with Big Show. Big Show could have put him over. Big Show could have had a few with him as far as helping him as a character. But how in the world are you going to have a new, relatively newer person, especially if you have a brand new fresh face turn? Why would you have someone freshly turn face just to be in a feud with Big Show, which is a good person that could have put him over, but he loses? So it doesn't make any sense at all. And I really don't know what they're going to do with Eric Rowan coming up here soon, and it's really sad. All right, Derek, you got a chance to steal. What was Buddy Roberts' nickname?
I remember him as Jack. Jack Daniels?
No, Buddy Jacko, you're reading answers from the Rear Wrestling.net live chat now. No, unfortunately, no. His nickname was the Toast of the Coast. The Toast of the Coast, Buddy Roberts. Yeah,
well,
who can forget about that? Come on now, Toast of the Coats, man. Next question. Yeah, but I don't know what that has to do with World Class Championship Wrestling. What? Let's see here. So the next question is, how many championships did Drew McIntyre have in the WWE? How many championships did Drew McIntyre have in the WWE, as my boy Vladimir Kozlov would say? WWE. Next, we have New Day defeating the Lucha Dragons by count out, and of course, this is awesome to me because I'm a New Day guy. But again, you know, how are you going to kind of blur faces and heels? I cannot stand, and it's making me so upsetting. It's upsetting me so much that they are blurring the lines between babyface and heel, and not so much blurring the lines, but more, it's more of a, your face this week and your heel, you know, this week, because we have no clue of what to do with you. And it's absolutely ridiculous to me that we're seeing that. And we'll get to the Divas here in a minute. But there's reports going around that Kidd and Cesaro may be kind of pushed as baby faces just for the Extreme Rules, and because they don't know, because they were over in the European tour. Of course they would be over in the European tour because Cesaro's European. What in the world would you expect? Would you expect them not to be over? I do not understand how in the world would okay, yeah, he's over in the European tour, so let's just go ahead and, you know, make him baby faces. You have to build people into being baby faces. I mean, that's just the way that you have to, that's really going to make people over. And for some reason, it just makes absolutely no sense to me that would happen. Now, I'm happy that New Day, you know, had the opportunity to, you know, to be a part of they had an opportunity to be a part of the title match, you know, I'm totally happy about that. And just the New Day, at least they're getting some type of, you know, personality, so to speak. At least that's happening, which is good. You know, the whole New Day sucks chants, at least that's getting them over as kind of like heels, but not really, you know, meaning to be heels. So they're getting some personality. They're getting some, you know, people, at least they're getting some type of reaction. But, you know, I really don't know what to expect, you know, with what they're going to do. I really don't know as far as Ken and Cesaro. Tyson Kidd is a really, really good heel. He plays a heel really good. Cesaro, I would even say, you know, Cesaro is a good heel. They had their time, they had their chance for Cesaro to be a face, you know, was it a couple years ago? But I think they're like, or last year at least. But I would think they're, you know, quite some, about at least 9 or 10 months too late. So I really don't know why they're just kind of blending in this week your face, this week your heel. That does not help with establishing someone's character at all. I think it's a horrible idea. I'm happy that New Day won, but if you're going to build Kidd and Cesaro, I mean, go ahead and build them. Either they're going to be faces or heels, and we haven't even seen a good face turn to think that they're otherwise. It's just, I'm confused. I just don't understand it.
Hey, it's hard to figure it out. I like them as a team, and I mean, whatever they do, I'll try to stay behind them. You know, the Lucha Dragons, I mean, they kind of came out of nowhere and kind of sparked the tag team division for a while. You know, the Usos are going to be out, so you got to see what that's going to go on. New Day, I'm still, yeah, kind of bored with them, have been. Nothing exciting for me. But with the Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, I mean, they are a great team together. I mean, I'm still glad they have the titles. Still hit or miss. And honestly, I think that's the way the tag team division's been for a while. It's just hit or miss. And it's 1 week it's good, the next week it's bad. You might have 3 weeks that, okay, it seems promising, and then it just kind of goes back to, you know, well, whatever, they're going to do something different next week, so who cares? But, you know, you've got the teams together and in place, and yet right now I think you have the three best teams that you could have in the division of, you know, what you have with the tag team now. So, okay, we'll see what happens next week in Extreme Rules. Not too exciting, but it is what it is right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I definitely think that just New Day having, like I said, just New Day having an opportunity to be a part of, you know, the night is awesome. And I'm loving, I'm excited to see where it's going to go. I really am excited to see where the New Day is going to go. And if the crowd with the whole, you know, chant, if eventually they're going to get enough heel heat to just be more, we've definitely seen more aggressive. But, you know, I was just thinking during the show, I mean, during Raw, that for so long, people were talking about Kofi Kingston, you know, being heel. He needs to turn heel, he needs to turn heel. And then all of a sudden, he's heel now, and you say, you know, and you're jeering him. So I just don't understand that. So there's a part of me that's going to believe soon that the New Day, they're going to be so heelish, and this is just smart logic here. They're going to be so heelish that they're going to start getting chants. There's a part of me that, I mean, they're going to start getting support, and there's a part of me that just believes that that's going to happen. And great job. Drew McIntyre held the Intercontinental Championship and the Tag Team title, so the answer is 2. Great job. Let me one up. Who was his tag team title partner? And of course, that's major easy. But who was his tag team championship partner? Next, we have your boy, Well, of course, you get Randy Orton RKOing Woods and Kingston post-match. There's a part of me that believes that somehow we're going to get Big E and Randy Orton as just a throwaway match, either next I don't even know. I don't want to spoil SmackDown, but I definitely can see Big E versus Randy Orton happening soon. So, yeah, I would like that. I would like that because I think it's a good way to, I mean, in the coming months, I think it's a good way to bump the New Day up as stronger heels. From New Day, you know, Big E feuding with Randy Orton, and it takes Randy Orton outside of the title picture. So, yeah. All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, Drew held the tag team belts. I don't remember that. Is what we were getting from the RealWrestling.net chat room. Don't see an answer yet. He held the tag team title with Cody Rhodes. Didn't have a very long reign, but he held the championship with Cody Rhodes. That was Cody Rhodes' second. That was Cody Rhodes' second reign. And the next trivia question was, what was his first reign? What was Cody Rhodes' first tag team title reign? Next, we have your boy Fandango defeating Curtis Axel. I don't know how long we have left with the Curtis Axel Mania. I don't know. I liked it. It was cool, you know, for a little bit, but I don't know how long Axel Mania lasts. You know, if he'd have won like the Andre the Giant Battle Royal or something like that, or got some type of feud going on with somebody and won a couple matches, or maybe even turn it into a babyface run, it would have had more steam. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of my colleagues and even said this on the show before. I really think this is Curtis Axel's last attempt to be somebody. And it was good, you know, for a couple, 3 months. You know, the Royal Rumble was 3 months ago. It was good for 3 months, or maybe two and a half. But sadly, I don't see much going on again left with Curtis Axel. And I really think that he would do much, much better kind of reviving his career going down to NXT. Curtis, I mean, he did that about a couple months ago. You know, he had some good matches down in NXT. He went back down there and used it to rebrand him a little bit. But he came right back up, did the whole Axelmania thing, and it was good while it lasted. But I'm just really sad about this because Axel's done. The Axelmania is getting stale already. There's the most charisma that he's ever shown, but I really don't know what to do left with Curtis Axel. And sadly, I know Fandango's your boy, but I think Fandango's face run is kind of thrown together, and I think it's too late, honestly. People, you know, just the fond. People are still Fandangoing because it's like something you have to do. Like Fandangoing is, it just comes with the territory. When you hear the Fandango song, you just have to do the Fandango dance. But it really goes to show how much the WWE really cares about Fandango, because when he beat Curtis Axel, I don't know if you noticed it or anybody listening, you know, through RealWrestling.net or Blog Talk Radio or Twitter or Facebook. I don't know if you noticed it, but
yes, I noticed
the music when Fongo won, the the second version of his music with Rosa Mendez came on for a little bit. And I was like, okay, wait a minute, what is this? And then when they played the replay, they hurried up and turned it back to the Fandango music, because when Fandango celebrated, you can tell, if you have it on your DVR, you know, go to that moment, you can tell Fandango was ready to do the Fandangoing dance, but the kind of salsa music came on, and he was kind of confused. And then, you know, it just goes to show how much they really care about building Fandango. Really didn't make much sense at all. So, yeah, sadly, you know, I think we witnessed these two people, their gimmicks, you know, face turn for Fandango is something different, but I don't see it going anywhere, and I certainly don't see Axelmania having any type of, you know, push at all, other than jobbing out and keep saying Axelmania. Good job, before I let you chime in on this, Derek. Good job, Hardcore Holly. And we also have a comment saying that Curtis Axe was a new Santino. I wouldn't even say that, because, I mean, I can see the comparison, but I would even say Santino's much on a much higher level than Curtis Axe, because at least Santino, during, you know, his run, was multi-time Intercontinental Champion, won the U.S. Championship, and was tag team champion, you know, during his run. Yeah, you know, Curtis Axel was Intercontinental Champion, and then Michael McGillicuddy was Tag Team Champion, but, you know, a failed run with Paul Heyman that just kind of threw him into a push that didn't work out, and then Michael McGillicuddy was just lost in a shuffle just because of his name. At least Santino was cheered, and Santino was a Royal Rumble runner-up. He was an Elimination Chamber runner-up. You know, Elimination Chamber, you know, a few years back, and the Royal Rumble, people were cheering the heck out of him, you know, as far as him almost eliminating Alberto Del Rio. And then, you know, Elimination Chamber, when it was down to him and heel Daniel Bryan, people were going bananas for Santino. So, you know, I definitely think that Santino was definitely a higher ranking than Curtis Axel, but, man, I really don't know how much is left with Axel, and it's sad because this is it for him, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, we're done with Curtis Axel. That was boring. Axel Mania's dead. Fandango, and I noticed that. I was wondering if anyone else picked up on that about his music. And I'm glad Fandango. I wonder whose idea it was for Fandango to bring back his old gimmick. If it was him just saying, let me do this again, or if it was the WWE noticing that, you know, Fandango is not a main eventer, mid-carder, sadly, in my opinion. However, I mean, they saw something with him in his run that his Spanish run just didn't do. And when they played that last night, I mean, I would have gone nuts and started throwing chairs and cussing people out. So, Axelmania, it's done. I mean, it's run its course for sure. And we'll see what happens with Fandango. I'm going to hold on to it. He's come this far. So let's just keep the dream running.
What dream? The American dream?
Dun, 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 dun. That's what the people want.
No. I would tend to disagree with that. I don't think people want Fandango. If anybody wants Fandango, feel free to, you know, let us know. But I don't think anybody wants Fandango, sadly. You know, I'm willing to give him a shot. I'm willing to give him a chance and see where it goes. But that's really the problem with the mid-card division. And we saw that with Sheamus and Zack Ryder, which we'll get to. Oh, my goodness. That was people like Ryder and Adam Rose and, you know, Fandango. I mean, people like that just, they really have nothing going for them and most likely will not for quite some time. And it's funny, like, we used to have people like Barry Horowitz and Iron Mike Sharp that lost every match. but was known to be, and, you know, Special Delivery Jones, you know, people who were known to be jobbers, but they were popular, but they were, like, glorified jobbers. And, you know, we always talk about, a lot of people talk about in conversations, yeah, they don't have jobbers anymore, blah, blah, blah. And my answer is usually, yes, they do. WWE still has jobbers. You know, Zack Ryder, Adam Rose, you know, and for a little bit, Fandango, they were jobbers. And Curtis Axel is a jobber. So, yeah, you don't have, you know, the enhancement talent that, you know, goes against the Road Warriors back in, you know, 88 and just gets thrown all over the ring. Yeah, you don't have that anymore. But you still have jobbers. There's still people who are designed to lose every single match in the WWE, and we see that every week. So, absolutely. And it says, I think just played his original thing because UK crowd were into it, and now that they're back to the States, so back to jobber status. Well, the thing is with that is that they played the Fandangoing music after they played the salsa type of thing. It seems like they just kind of got it wrong, and he went back to the Fandango, and they started dancing. And so, you know, it just seems like they just really don't care, honestly. They really don't have much investment going on with them. So we'll see what happens with that. Next trivia question, ladies and gentlemen. What year did the Headbangers win their tag team championship? What year did the Headbangers win their tag team championship? Let's see what we have. First tag team championship. Well, the first and only. They only had one tag team title reign. So that's the question on deck right now. Then there's a question. Who did Barry Horowitz get his first win against? I believe it was Skip from the Body Donnas, if I'm not mistaken. I remember that time. 1998, that is not correct. That is not correct. Whoever gets this answer correct gets a Barry Horowitz pat on the back. Yes, I believe people Google it or whatever you want to do, check it out. I think it was Skip. If I'm not mistaken, it was Skip from the Body Donnas or Chris Candido, whatever you want to call him. I believe that was the first one. And yes, 1997 is the correct answer for the Headbangers. And then we get Triple H announcing Tough Enough. I put this on the Crave Wrestling, the Facebook site. Be sure to check that out. It's all, you know, throughout the whole day. It's links and posts and all types of cool stuff from the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. And so basically, Triple H announcing Tough Enough, June 23rd, you have your opportunity, Derek, to wrestle again. So get your videotape ready and get everything ready for Tough Enough. I know that you're going to try out and you know, become a wrestler once again. So looking forward to that. I've been told by a lot of people, I've been asked if I am going to do it. I'm not because my family's more important than my solo wrestling career. I have a beautiful wife and two kids, and I am in my PhD course is about to become a doctor. So as much as I want to wrestle, and the thing is, I'm saying no now. But I don't see myself doing it. I just don't see myself doing it. I got such an amazing, you know, career ahead of me, and even now, what I'm doing and what I'm on the road to do. And yeah, just the travel of wrestling. If I was a wrestler, I would probably have an amazing 5 years of like get like I would probably have an amazing 5 years of having the most amazing push, and I actually got some people, some wrestlers who can train me, and so I'm up to it. I used to amateur wrestle, so I definitely have a freestyle. I have a freestyle background, so I definitely could do that as far as the mat techniques. So, you know, I don't know, man. It's a no for now. It's a strong no, but, you know, maybe my wife says, hey, babe, won't you try out? And I'll be like, no, okay. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But it's a pretty strong no right now. So how about you, Derek? Are you in? Are you going to audition for Tough Enough?
Well, you see, I want to give everybody else a chance. But
okay.
Well, why not? You know, yeah. I mean, I can do some push-ups. I'll eat a couple cans of tuna, get back in there, and show everyone who's boss. But I'm looking forward to the new season. I really am. I mean, I haven't really watched it the past few seasons. I mean, when Al Snow was in charge of it, or at least, you know, the head trainer, that was great. Miz was in it. I remember Maven, and he won.
Oh, yeah.
Came from there. Well, what's his name? Joey Styles. No, I'm just kidding.
Joey Matthews.
That's
the announcer for TNA right now.
He was the guy that he was Harvard. Chris
Nowinski.
Nowinski.
Yeah, Chris
Nowinski.
Yep. Then you had Nydia, who actually became Jamie Noble's main squeeze. Me and my Nydia. So she won with Maven actually. And you had Shaniqua, who was just a flash in the pan. She managed what was the Basham Brothers. Managed the Basham Brothers for a hot second. That was probably the worst Tough Enough winner because they did nothing with her. Then you have who else won? Matt Capitelli. Who had a ton of, and of course, John Morrison, and which, you know, had a pretty good career. But Capitelli had an amazing potential. Actually, did pretty good in the Indies and in the developmentals, and of course, he got injured and. Actually, he had an ailment and unfortunately had to retire. But yeah, but Capitelli's probably has one of the most inspiring stories out of Tough Enough, and just really got he was in an unfortunate occurrence that caused him to retire. And he just really committed himself to God and became a very devout and strong Christian, which, you know, as me myself, can respect the heck out of that. And so, yeah, it was a very inspiring story for Capitelli. Who else won? Who else was Tough Enough winners? Then you have Andy Levine, who won the previous Tough Enough. He was in NXT for a second and got released. Anybody else? If I'm missing someone, good call on that from WeAreWrestling.net live chat. Matt Morgan did try out for Tough Enough. If I'm missing any winners, let me know. As far as Tough Enough is concerned, I can remember. I think Jackie Gata won 1 year. If I'm not mistaken, let me know about that. But I think it was one season that the two women won, and I think it was the season with Shaniqua and Jackie Gata. If I'm not mistaken, I think that was the worst Tough Enough season of all time. It was absolutely horrible. I remember Kenny King trying out for Tough Enough too, as well. There was a lot of people who tried out for Tough Enough who didn't. ODB, she was on the first season of Tough Enough. I remember her trying out. Yeah, there was a lot of course, Skip Sheffield, who, you know, who became Ryback. I tried out, and they showed that on Raw yesterday. Yeah, but if I'm missing a winner, let me know. But as far as I remember, those were the winners. And of course, Cameron, she tried out for Tough Enough, and I think she was the and I think one of the elimination rounds, she was down to the final two, and I think Austin asked her what was her favorite match, and she said something ridiculous like, I don't even remember. I think it was something like Melina versus Candice Michelle or Best Fiend. It was something just random. I don't remember who it was that she said, that the two people, but it was just really, really awkward and just like, I just came up with that. But it's funny how much of a reject she was for Tough Enough, but she ended up having a good spot. You know, now she's, you know, a decent wrestler in the ring. She's growing. She's maturing in the ring. But, you know, you don't have to win Tough Enough to actually get a pretty good spot. So we've seen that. So it's I'm going to watch it. I'm really interested to watch it. We might even cover it as an element of our weekly, you know, analysis here on the show. We'll see about that, and we may even talk about it every week. And then Kane appears, gives Triple H a notice. Triple H tries to talk him out of it, and Rollins comes out and argues with Kane. And Triple H makes Kane the guardian of the gates for the Royal match at Extreme Rules, and then Seth Rollins reluctantly shakes Kane's hand. It just seems like this is going to lead to nothing. What I see is that, you know, they're teasing this Rollins Kane crap, and it's really at the end of the day is going to lead to Orton about to come out, and, you know, I guess this is my prediction. This is my early prediction before we get to him. I can see Randy Orton giving Seth Rollins some type of punt or something like that, since he can't do the RKO, and then him about to come out of the cage, and then Kane just kind of does a Kurt Hennig to Ric Flair NWO days, you know, smash the cage in his face type thing and knocks him out, and then that calls a Seth Rollins. This isn't really, as much as I was thinking like probably a week or two ago that we might see some glimpses of Kane turning face, I don't see it. It just, at the end of the day, Kane's going to be an authority guy, and we're not going to see much of it.
No, you won't. I mean, it's boring. Oh, I'm going to be guardian of the gate. Who cares? I mean, when they announced that, I'm like, I mean, it was Triple H being all sentimental and being on Kane's side last night and feeling sympathy for him. I mean, give me a break. I mean, we all know it's going to blow up in his face, or it's not going to blow up into anything. He's going to be out there. It's going to be a non-factor. I mean, really, as far as the outcome of the match goes, and it's just, it's like you said, it's going to go nowhere. I mean, yeah, it made Kane look tough for a few minutes last night when he was screaming in Rollins' face, which was fun. I enjoyed that. But it's going to go back to Kane being Kane and Rollins getting his way.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here is another trivia question, and then we take a quick break. Big announcement after the break, and then we'll get to the State of the Divas division, which I'm going to spend some time on today. Next question is, who were the members of the Heavenly Bodies? Who were the members of the Heavenly Bodies? Think about that for a moment, and when we come back, we've got a big announcement for you.
Bring what you got. The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
Four corners, free, our mind, let's go. The whole squad is making it clear, we've taken this year. You know who we are, but you don't know. know why we here. So this is where the big boys play. These big boys slay. Like who defies the living God? Get out the big boys' way. Outsiders with the swoop in. We live as kings. You see in us, but our third man waits in the wings. And when the time is right, we shock him with the proper attack. I go for Dolo, but ain't solo. Cut the promo in black. Hollywood, Hendrix, Prizzle, pinning them to the mat.
And I'm Dash One Nickin with the strength of 100 men. With one intent, to see the will fulfilled of the one who sent his son to give himself. But you rap about your gas and your rags torture. White coffins when I drop a bomb. My mic's awesome, never lost faith. You in all space, you can all skate. Suffer but never crippled. No bin walls in my cross face. From here to Saturday, raving, anticipating. I was frostbit, now I am Glacier. Mixed with some Vader, get to hawking with these animals. Using God for my defense in Alabama. We jamming, that's beautiful. Bobby Eaton, me and Priest, we the dangerous alliance. Nah, the Harlem Heat, tie the do-rag before we do battle. You're talking sheep, you all what you speak. This too sweet.
Till the genre is took back, we repping that wolf pack. The foundation's shaking, no mistaking, yeah, we shook that. Trust in God, we trust, pushing forward, never look back. Meekness ain't at all weakness, some people mistook that. Stamping out this crook rap, he turning the power on the razor's edge, leg drop after a power bomb. Tired of the lies, man, we bringing the truth through. Diligent and fruitful, the owners in our group too. It's good to be king, sold out, this war is brutal.
We playing them war games, our army go lose too. You crew, I'm in the Raptors with a bat in my hand, and stand to shatter all your plans so they don't matter. In the grand scheme, it's that easy. We tag teaming, Steiner Brothers, we love it. Demand the win, establish it. This the clash of the champions.
This is where the big boys play, huh? We ain't here to play.
Tom Pritchard, the Dr. Tom Pritchard, and Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey, who unfortunately passed late last year. Sad about that. That is the correct answer of Sweet Stan Lane. We also have someone who said Sweet Stan Lane, which if you want to go back to the Cornette's promotion, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You know what, as a matter of fact, I think that you know, we're going to make that a flavor of the week topic. We're going to talk about Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We've talked about AWA before. We've talked about GWF. We've talked about World Class Championship Wrestling. We're going to talk about some Smoky Mountain Wrestling. There's a lot of people who came from Smoky Mountain that Jim Cornette can really Jim Cornette can really have some. And the Cornette's your guy too. I remember your Cornette guy because he helped you out in the Indies. But yeah, Cornette, you know, could lay take credit for some people for a number of people actually. So one of them being Kane when he was the Unabomb back in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And I remember hearing a shoot interview from Jim Cornette not too long ago, you know, talking about stories about the Unabomb and how they were having like a talent exchange at the time, and Undertaker was going against the Unabomb. Vince allowed Cornette to use some WWE talent, and so Undertaker came over and was going against, well, Kane or the Unabomb at the time, and Vince was impressed with his work and his size and his build, and so he brought him over. Unfortunately, at that point in time, Vince had just a knack for just the strangest gimmicks in the world, and he became Isaac Yankum DDS, which had World Champion written all over it, I suppose. But thankfully, Isaac Yankum didn't have a long shelf life, and he became Kane. So, very interesting story as far as Kane is concerned, and just all the gimmicks he had to go through to, you know, have the tenure that he had in the WWE. Still going strong too. One of the only people from the Attitude Era that's still around.
Yeah, I love Kane. Everybody loves Kane. And our flavor of the week is Masked Men. Kane's going to be in the top three, top two at least. I mean, or at least number one. So, I mean, we'll get to that. But we'll see. But, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Pancakes and Power Slam studio, we just want to say we love Kane. But, doggone it, he's gone through a lot. I mean, actually, just the tenure of that guy. I mean, yeah, he gets dumped on all the time, but he's still getting a steady paycheck. And I mean, what anybody who ever watched WWE for at least 6 months of their life, everyone knows who Kane is. I mean, give it to him that way. Same thing with the Big Show. I mean, you get these guys, they make look like fools every week, but, I mean, they put in their time, they put in their dues, and they're staple on the show.
Interesting comment on the WeAreWrestling.net live stream. As a kid, an evil dentist got over with me. And, you know, it's so funny. I never thought of it in that sense that, you know, dentists were, dentists were meant to be, as kids, people were just scared of dentists anyways, drilling your teeth and shooting you up with Novocaine. So, and even adults are scared of dentists, you know, having a big old Novocaine needle and just, you know, shoot your mouth away. So, yeah, it made sense for him to be an evil dentist. All right, next question is, how many pay-per-view appearances did the Gobbledygooker have? How many pay-per-view appearances did the Gobbledygooker have? All right, ladies and gentlemen, as you think about that, big announcement, big announcement. I'm so excited to, I mean, we've interviewed so many people in our 3 years. I can go down a list, but we don't have enough time. But I will give a special shout out to the people we've interviewed this year, which is Matt Taven, JTG, and the Patriot Del Wilkes. Got two more in the Pancakes and Power Slam series. We got, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to have two guest hosts. Next week, I am so honored to announce that the guest host for next week will be former WWE Intercontinental Champion D'Lo Brown will be on the show as the guest host for next week. And then the following week, the guest host will be former TNA star Jesse Sorensen. So looking forward for the next 2 weeks, we're going to have so much content, so much amazing interviews, and so much amazing stuff to talk about the next 2 weeks with former Intercontinental Champion, former European Champion, former member of the Nation of Domination, Aces and Eights, whatever you want to say. There's going to be, obviously, there's going to be a lot of content to talk about with D'Lo Brown. Very excited about his new project with this Wrestling Academy, and we're going to have a lot to talk about. It's going to be really fun. I'm excited about him being a guest host. And then, of course, with the controversial neck injury with TNA and TNA with Jesse Sorensen, we're going to talk about that come in the next couple of weeks. He's going to be the guest host. So excited, very, very excited for D'Lo Brown and Jesse Sorensen. And with that, great job. Two pay-per-views, yes, Survivor Series 1990 and WrestleMania 17. So this is why, you know, I love the Pancakes and Power Slams chat room. I love my, you know, my Twitter crowd, at Crave Wrestling. But I love the RealWrestling.net live stream. All of my friends, you know, can attest, you know, all my friends who love wrestling can attest to the fact that I love wrestling trivia. I absolutely love wrestling trivia. And I've shared the story before, and I'll give you a very Cliff Notes version of it. Derek and I met going on 6 years ago, and we met at a job working for a very, very, in the corporate office of a very, very big company, a very, very big fashion company. And we worked there, and we spent most of our day, like the entire day, giving each other wrestling trivia. Now, I completely just murked him in wrestling trivia. He's not, but he's good though. You know, he's good. But I he couldn't stand a chance with me. But you know, it was fun. I looked forward to coming to work for that, you know, for wrestling trivia all day. And we sat next to each other, and we would literally write a page. I'm talking about a legal pad. So you're talking about, you know, not 8.5 by 11, but you're talking about legal pad size. We would write a full page of wrestling trivia and swap it to the next person. And then the person would answer it and then write the page and then swap it. And that happened, you know, all day. That happened all day. We worked together for about 4 months. And so, yeah, it was very, very fun. So I absolutely love trivia. Love trivia. Very, very clever. Going to get the lowdown on PNP next week. This is why I love the WeAreWrestling.net live stream. Awesome people there. All right, so next trivia question is, what did Heidenreich call his poems? And yes, we are going to talk about the chest protector comment on the WeAreWrestling.net live stream. We are going to talk about the chest protector, which I'm very excited to talk about. So D'Lo Brown on the show next week is going to be awesome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Divas Division, the State of the Divas Division. Naomi, Brie Bella, absolutely ridiculous. I've said this about the Divas Division the past couple of weeks, and it makes absolutely no sense. And I had a tweet about it. The state of the Divas Division at this current moment is absolutely atrociously horrible. Why? Because going back to the whole flip-flopping thing, you have to establish someone's character as a face or a heel. It doesn't matter what the fans say as far as if they cheer, if they boo. If this person is established to be a face or a heel, make them that. That's the reason why John Cena has been the man for, you know, over a dozen years now. Well, at least, you know, close to a dozen, really. 2004 is when he began his rise as a main eventer. So nearly a dozen years on top was not because of the fans' reaction. It's because he established himself and he created his identity as a babyface, no matter if you liked him or not. Now, why in the world would you have Naomi, who still has these Somebody Call My Mama song, does not fit in her heel persona at all. She's a heel. Why would she feud against the Bellas, who's been establishing themselves as a heel, as a heel tag team, as a heel, you know, individuals for so long now? They're like the biggest heels on the roster. So why would you have Naomi turn heel just to feud with a heel champion? It makes absolutely no sense, and I just cringe when I look at the Divas, not because of their appearance, of course not because of their appearance, and not because of their athleticism, not because of their ability, but the lack and the lack of interest, really, it seems like, within the booking committee regarding the Divas Division is just so ridiculous to me. It makes no sense. It's ridiculous. And NXT just totally blows the Divas Division out of the water. And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It makes no sense at all.
And it makes no sense at all. And really, it's hard to even talk about it, and it's hard to say anything about the Divas Division. It sucks. There's nothing. I don't want to waste too much time on it. And the NXT, I mean, their Divas Division, again, blows them away. Bring Charlotte Flair in. Do something. I mean, Paige is gone for a while for a fake injury. I mean, AJ Lee, forget about it. She's retired. You'll never see her until she's inducted into the Hall of Fame 5 years from now, whatever.
Happens.
Yeah, if that happens, we'll see how things settle. But it's a travesty, and again, I don't want to waste a whole lot of time on it. Everybody who's seen it knows what we're talking about, or else they wouldn't be listening to this show. So
yeah, exactly. Roman Reigns and Bo Leaf segment was pretty funny. A good way to get Roman Reigns some try to give him some some pops, although the Albany crowd was still giving him heel heat, which is it's going to happen. Sheamus defeating Zack Ryder by disqualification. Watching this just makes me just feel so sorry for people like Zack Ryder. Because, yeah, I understand, and that's why I respect the heck out of Tyler Rex. And we're still cool to this day, actually. And, he said on the show, and he said before many times, that he just had to go because he was just being thrown around and had no direction. And Zack Ryder is the perfect example. This guy is just a walking, breathing embarrassment. Again, not because of his ability, because he gained, a million plus Twitter followers by, being a good PR guy with the, true Long Island story. But just their interest in Zack Ryder makes it so it's so embarrassing. And people still like Zack Ryder. He was in his hometown, but they decided to just totally devour him on behalf of Sheamus looking good, like he had to look good, and Ziggler making a save, but that really didn't do anything to try to, keep the dignity of Zack Ryder. It was embarrassing, and it was absolutely ridiculous.
It was ridiculous, and the thing about that is, Bowie's got facial hair now. Good for him. And, interrupts Roman Reigns. Are you kidding me? Of course I wasn't going to go anywhere. Sheamus and Zack Ryder, that was such a pathetic show of, whatever they're trying to do with Sheamus. I mean, he's still not believable as a top guy, and they just can't do that with him with this heel turn. I mean, he's got a devastating kick. He always has. And he's always been a big, white, albino, tough guy, but he's still that. And now they want to call him a boy and make him he's still the same Sheamus as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and great comment here on the chat room, live stream chat room. Zack Ryder shot himself in the foot by getting over by himself. He'll never be given a chance after going against the grain like that. Totally agree. Absolutely 1,000% agree. He's not a WWE manufactured person. And so he's going to receive the backlash of it. Pretty much, that's really it, and that's true. All right, Miz, Cena defeating Kane, and then Miz defeating Miz Dow. I knew that Summer Rae was going to turn on him. That was pretty evident. Ryback defeating Adam Rose. I reported on the Rhea Wrestling.net. I reported on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. And RealWrestling.net reported as well as far as Bray Wyatt. Who is he talking about with his cryptic promos? It's reported to be Ryback. I'll be okay with the Ryback and Bray Wyatt feud. Just because they both – the only thing is they both need wins, though. But Bray Wyatt's at the point right now that he can afford to lose because of his promos. Ryback can't. So I think it'd be a decent feud between those two.
That'd be a great feud between the two, and I was kind of excited about that because they both have no direction. So let's put these two together and see what they can do. They have to make the most of this for both of themselves. They're just constantly being losers. And it's the Miz and Miz Dow thing. I can see it still continuing, but it's going to be almost watered down if they keep going too far with it. And again, I believe Miz Dow or Damian Sandow is not going to have a whole lot after this if it really goes sour and the Miz gets all the accolades for it.
Yeah, Exactly. Derek, do you know, do you remember what Heidenreich called his poems?
I don't, and I could have looked it up and Googled it. I remember him, and I remember, I just can't think of it. But once you say it, I'm going to punch myself.
It was, he called them the disaster pieces. Not the masterpieces, but the disaster pieces. Yeah. Lastly, we have Seth Rollins defeating Zack Ryder. Dolph Ziggler. We had Seth Rollins defeating Dolph Ziggler. Rollins cuts promo post-match, and this is Kane. Kane appears, and Janzai security stops him from coming to the ring, and then he turns around as the cage was closing, only to see Randy Orton and go, you know, go back and forth with him. Randy Orton had most of the offense, and then an amazing RKO. I will give that to Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins can sell the heck out of something. And he, as we saw at WrestleMania, that springboard, slingshot, catapult RKO was probably the best we've ever seen. And this one was not too far behind, because this was amazing too. So, yeah, that was a good way to end, you know, the show. Good way to really promote the main event for Extreme Rules, but yeah, you know, it wasn't all that. It was okay. And then as far as the curb stomp not being used is concerned, you know, it doesn't make any sense at all. And I tweeted this. You know, of course, there's been talks about the curb stomp not being used because three people are suing the WWE for head injuries, but he had like some type of face buster DDT. And so I tweeted, okay, so the WWE logic is we won't let you do the curb stop when you're using your foot, but we will let you do a face buster DDT when you're using your whole body. So it just, it made no logical sense. And, you know, typical WWE logic, it was a horrible looking finisher. And I hope that that's not as marketable as the curb stomp. I had to be won over. The curb stop had to win me over, but it definitely became a believable move. But now, since you know, and then there's been reports to say it's not banned, but they're just kind of trying to shy away from it. Either way, the move that he has now is just all bad.
It's bad. The curb stomp was great. I like the curb stomp. It was something simple. It's like sweet chin music. It's just real quick, impact. You get knocked out. The RKO, same thing. And Rollins is probably the best person to ever sell that move. He's done it time and time again, because every week on Raw, SmackDown, whatever show it is, Rollins and RKO. So, but overall, I'd give Raw maybe a C average, C minus, I don't know. But the show ended on a high note, if you want to call it that. Not a good show to go into Extreme Rules, but again, Extreme Rules is almost an afterthought.
Yeah, unfortunately, I agree with that. For the week, real quick, and then predictions coming up. It is now time for the Flavor of the Week. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to name the all-time best Max wrestlers. We're going to go with Tiger Mask 4. Had an awesome tenure in Japan in the 80s until now, actually. The Spoiler was real big in, you know, the 60s, 70s, 50s, 60s and 70s. Then you had Dos Caras, which is the dad of Alberto Del Rio, or Alberto El Patron. You had Kane, which speaks for himself. Jushin Liger, which is one of my favorite Japanese wrestlers of all time. Mil Máscaras, which is definitely one of an amazing, you know, just multi cross country wrestler, cross national, international wrestler. Vader, multi time champion in many different countries. Vader speaks for himself. Mankind, shorter reign, but definitely one of the best mass wrestlers. Ultimo Dragon was the man in Mexico and Japan. Had like, I remember he coming to the, came into the WCW. He had like 7 championships, and then of course, without question, that was a random order. But the number one is for sure Rey Mysterio. So, there is not much to explain about Rey Mysterio other than him being the most successful mass wrestler that we've ever seen.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio is the most successful mass wrestler we've ever seen. That's great. I was never a big Rey Mysterio fan, but I mean, I can't argue with the fact. And you had a lot of New Japan wrestlers you mentioned. Tiger Mask 4, absolutely phenomenal. And Ultimo Dragon, like you mentioned, is great.
Yep.
I still would like to hear Kane from Kane, Justin Liger. Kane. But, yeah, you got mass wrestlers. You got the whole Lucha Libre. It's so hard to really pinpoint and say that this particular one is the best one. You know, Patriot, which, bless them for being on our show.
Yep.
Mass wrestlers always seemed like they were hiding something. I don't know. To me, I couldn't appeal to them as much. But awesome list of Vader and Mankind. You cannot forget that. Big Van Vader. He used to have like a whole helmet accessory with shoulder pads and everything he'd wear in the ring. So, and it blew smoke out of it and everything. That was awesome. And of course, Mankind. Yeah. The many faces of Mick Foley. So, I mean, mass wrestlers definitely have their place in professional wrestling.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jushin Liger, speaking of Jushin Liger, he recently had a fantastic match against Jay Lethal at ROH's event they had, and it was absolutely amazing, and their match was good for the TV championship, and Liger, he's been wrestling for over 30 years, and he's still at it, man. 50 years old, and still at it. All right, real quick, let's get into the predictions. We have Ambrose and Harper. Who you got?
I've got Ambrose.
Ambrose as well for me. We have Ken and Cesaro, the pre-show. Ken and Cesaro versus New Day. Who you got?
Cesaro. Tyson.
Yep. Me as well. Rollins and Orton.
Rollins. Rollins is winning.
Yep. I got Rollins as well. Cena, Rusev.
Cena,
yep. Daniel Bryan Barrett is reportedly out for a month, so we'll see where that goes as far as alteration of that. Ziggler, Sheamus.
I'm gonna go Sheamus.
Yep, Sheamus for me. Nikki Bella and Naomi.
Who cares? Nikki Bella.
Yep, I got Nikki Bella as well. Of course, I got my boy, Roman Reigns, beating Big Show. Who you got?
Oh, of course, Roman Reigns.
Absolutely. Superman punch. All right, ladies and gentlemen, D'Lo Brown, guest host for next week. I'm looking forward for you to join us next week. I'm looking forward for that. Until then, God bless. Have a good week. Daddy loves Eliza and Ian. Goodbye.